There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 98.5. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz. People call us the Bankroll Boys, and that's literally what we have been doing for you over the past couple of weeks. We give out PPs on our podcast. What does PP stand for, Dan?
Podcast play. And a podcast play happens when you hear the bell. If you don't hear the bell, then it's just, we're just discussing the games. It's nothing else. That's all it is.
Also, Dan, a couple of things that I'd want to get out there. What, can you explain what a syndicate is?
No.
Okay. Can you explain line movement?
Yes, okay. Syndicate is a group of well-respected players who are a large amount of money who move lines and move lines purely to get the best number. They're not looking for winners and losers. And the idea is that if you get the best number, you will win because they might be on – if the Patriots are minus seven and the Bills are plus seven, if they get the Bills at, you know, plus nine and the Patriots at minus four because they've moved the numbers so much, they believe that they'll be able to get possibly two winners out of that. At the very least, they get one. So they're willing to bet more often than not that they getting the best line translates to more winners. So they're not trying to win and lose, not trying to pick games. They're trying to move lines and get the best lines. Fucking really simple. So for all those people who think that syndicates are trying to pick winners, they're not.
They're just trying to move money to get money on both sides. Can you explain, this is something I got some heat on this week, which I don't understand, but when a halftime play comes out, the line can move, right? Meaning that money could come in on a certain side right away.
So I don't remember what was the Thursday night game.
I know we were together Monday night, right?
Pittsburgh.
That line second half line opened at what?
23.
What was it right away?
21.5. It moves. And plus, not to mention that, every book is different. There are going to be different lines in different places. Locals are going to have different lines than Five Dimes and Bet Online. And the Vegas sports books, there's always going to be different lines. Now, they should be relatively close, okay? Not to mention, 23 to 21.5. Pretty much dead numbers.
It's a big jump, though.
Yeah, it's one of that points. I agree, but we're talking about dead numbers.
Yeah.
Numbers that really are not commonly important in football. Well, so
all right, to give you an example, I had 14.5 North Carolina against Clemson second half.
Correct.
Everyone else had it right around 14.
A lot of people had 14.
Now, listen, the bet won anyways. Whether you added 14 or 14.5, you won your bet. Last week, I got some flack for that, and what I do is when I see the number come out, I either bet it or I don't. For instance, Temple was 3.5. I waited a couple of minutes. It went down to 3. I bet it and went back up to 3.5. I'm not saying I moved the line. I didn't. But money came in. You know what? The bet won anyway. So just want to get a few of those things out of the way. We're not a service. If we were a service selling picks, it's okay to bust our balls. But like everything that we do is right here. right here on this podcast, and occasionally we'll give out our own picks on Twitter. I like to do second halves. But it's all documented. And the best thing about it is, thank you for everybody who downloaded us, 9,000 downloads this week, which is incredible. But at the same time, we do these podcasts. We give these picks on Wednesday or Thursday. Like the Costello-Stanford pick that we got into last week.
Yep.
I took Stanford. You said that if they won, you'd eat my own ass.
Yes. I have yet to eat my own ass. I'm not doing it.
They pushed.
I'm bailing out.
They should have blown them out, but they almost blew it. Anyways, point is that the stuff that we give, things can change. Lines can change. But overall, we've been dead on. We got like a crystal ball, and we're going to continue to pick winners.
PP's 10-3-1 last week. I'll tell you this, Joe. I think this is a relatively easy week compared to last week. I actually have more PP's in both the NFL and college than I did last week. I think that this is going to be an easier week. I think in college, there's a lot of chalk. And I think that this chalk, this feels like the last week, NFL, chalk lost out in the NFL, right? I'm telling you right now.
Underdogs and road teams are crushing.
Chalk is going to lose in college football this week. Going to happen. Be careful of road chalk, especially. It's going to happen. By the way, chalk favorites, okay? I understand people get, you know, we have a lot of new listeners, and we appreciate all of you, but just you guys have to understand, you know, kind of like the normal terminology, and if you don't, you can listen to episode 4. We did a betting 101 to kind of understand all that stuff.
Besides all that, congratulations to everybody who's cashing. Sounds like people are telling their friends, downloading, getting involved, so we love it. Again, we're here because we like doing this. We like to give out winners, and hopefully if we get enough downloads and you guys continue to tweet our boss, maybe we can get more airtime.
Yeah.
And if you want us to come out, you should tell us too. We'll come visit you guys.
Yeah, and if you guys rate, review the podcast, we really appreciate it. If you guys listen on iTunes, obviously, I think that's the easiest place it is. If not, you listen someplace else, don't worry about it. We really do appreciate it that, you know, just listening, rating, reviewing, subscribing, that's the way you guys can pay us back. So we really do appreciate it. You know, we're not asking for tips or anything like that. Kind of whatever. And again, we talk about every game. We do not give a pick on every game. We give out what we like in every game. And if we give plays, which are called PPs, then on Twitter, we give out plays as well. But not everything is a play. Just because I like something doesn't mean I'm playing it. And I know that there are a lot of guys who came at me, a couple guys who came at me this week saying, oh, but you said this on the podcast. Yeah, but I like it. And if you guys want to take our advice and play it, awesome. Otherwise, you can fade it, go against it, whatever you want to do. But I want to give you guys a heads up here.
Yeah. Anything that we lock in, you know, PP, that's why we tell you to listen because that's what we're giving out as our more confident plays. How's that sound?
By the way, Senators up 3-2 on the Leafs right now.
Wow. Yeah, we just did our hockey podcast, our preview for the year. Ty Anderson joined us from 985thesportsclub.com, so that will be dropping soon.
We gave out a bunch of season totals. Ty was awesome.
Ty was really way more informative than I was. So
that's okay. Hockey's not your strong point. It's okay. It's not. Dude, you pick winners in college football and the NFL. I think people are okay.
And I can
do
college basketball as well. And you know what? NBA. And you know what? That's coming up next week soon, I think, as well, right?
End of the month. So I think we're going to do NBA preview pod next couple of weeks.
So
a couple of weeks. Yeah.
All right. Let's start picking some winners. We'll get into the Thursday card, which we've been doing periscopes for, but we happen to be recording on a Wednesday night. So Thursday, Friday football, Saturday nooners. It's a big week, and we got NFL as well. All that coming up next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at OverUnder985.
All right, back here OverUnder985. Let's get right into it. Thursday, there's a couple of college football games. We have Georgia Southern in Southern Alabama. One team's 1-3, the other is 1-4. Open to 13.5. Now USA getting the 10-point underdog. Any action in this one?
I don't have a particular play, Georgia Southern, obviously the triple option team. They should beat Southern Alabama, but this opened at 13 and is down to 10. Sharp is definitely like Southern Alabama is the home side.
Georgia Southern beat their ass last year.
Yeah, I would say I worry a little bit about Georgia Southern in this game. I think Southern Alabama, just too many points at home. But at 9 or 10, which is what the line is here, it's just too much. I would probably stay off.
All right, we have Temple at East Carolina. I had Temple last week. PP locked it up, beat Georgia Tech, and it won. They actually shut them out. Hit them second half as well. They take on Eastern Carolina on the road. They're 2-0 at home so far this year. The line opened to 13, now down to 11.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I think Temple wins the game. Eastern Carolina covers the spread.
I got a double PP for you on Thursday night. You ready for this?
Ready.
We're bringing out early. Eastern Carolina plus 11.5, which is what it is right now. You can get 11.5. I'm going to take my half point, okay? Because I have 11.5. You can get either one. 11.5.
Are we going
Eastern,
under?
Eastern Carolina PP. There's your bell for that. I'm going the under 48.
I agree.
Okay? I think this is, to me, this is one of the almost no-doubt totals of the week.
Temple's got a good defense.
I actually got the total in at 49 yesterday, dropped a point today, and it looks like it's going to move to 47 or 47.5. So get it in while you can, under 48 PP. Double PP in the Thursday night.
All right, there. We got double PPs opening up on a Thursday night.
Man, so let's breaking the podcast wide open.
Let's keep it going for Friday night. Central Florida with a terrible bad beat 2 weeks in a row and last week against UConn. Go to Cincinnati. All right. Here's my deal right off the bat. Lines at 4. Central Florida should win this game. I'm not falling for the Cincinnati home dog. I'm not doing it. So, therefore, for the third consecutive week in a row, I am locking up UCF minus 4 points. It opened at 1.5.
This is we talked about it last week. This is a swallow your balls play.
UCF PP.
I got you.
Here's the reason why.
Minus 4, by the way. That's the line.
Cincinnati is a decent defense. They can run the football with Warren. Besides that, I mean, they played well last week. I thought they would struggle, Cincinnati. UCF, again, they were pissed last week. They laid off the gas in the second half. They're going to be on national TV on a Friday night. I think they're going to beat Cincinnati.
I mean, who's their quarterback? Riddich, I believe, is...
Ritter is the quarterback for Cincinnati.
Yeah, Ritter. I always
call him Riddich. He's not bad.
No, he's a good player, but here's the problem. When he faces upper competition, and to me... The talking point of Cincinnati was, what were they going to do against Ohio State, right? I think Ohio State's definitely more talented than UCF. However, the fact is that Cincinnati laid a fucking egg versus Ohio State. Nothing. Didn't score a single point. I know Ritter got hurt kind of halfway during that game, but really, they weren't moving the ball with him. To me, while it's really square, I like UCF too. Mm. The total, by the way, Joe, is at 60.5. I think that's high. I think that's going to be an under. And obviously not locking it up, but I do think that's going to be an under. I think UCF is going to score. I thought they threw the second half versus UConn last week. Yeah. I mean, that was
fishy. I think they have a chance to score 35-40 this week.
I think maybe mid-30s. I don't see Cincinnati scoring more. I think UCF should beat them by a touchdown or two.
Okay. So. Central Florida, again, I think that they're the PP. Lock that up. And then the other Friday night game, San Jose State hosts New Mexico.
This is a garbage bowl.
Oh, God. San Jose off a loss.
San Jose State backdoor Air Force last week. New Mexico. I can't remember who the hell they played. They played someone and they lost. This is a battle of two garbage teams. It's very tough to choose. San Jose State laying 7 at home. Yeah. I'd lean New Mexico. I think a touchdown too much. I think this probably should be a 3 or 4 point line. I think the over 67 should hit. Okay. Both these teams can score. And I know I said I'm not going to add plays. Maybe if I get bored Friday night, this would be possibly the play I look at, the over. 67 here. I just think that these two teams don't have good defense and score a shitload of points.
All right, Saturday, I'm leading you off with a PP for a nooner. Oklahoma State at Texas Tech. Give me the Cowboys. Give me them at 10. Right now would be happen to be the line. Give me a PP. Texas Tech will start their third different quarterback this week in Jet Duffy. Third straight quarterback. I don't like that.
Classic square, Joe. I do think
Oklahoma's won 9 of the last 10 meetings.
They're undefeated against the spread this year. Here's my thing about Oklahoma State. The road shock scares me this week, Joe.
The only thing that scares me is Texas Tech beat them 41-17. I think this is payback.
Well, Texas Tech, I think, is on their second quarterback third quarterback. Yeah. And they lost their center this week. They're in some serious trouble. It's too much chalk for me to lay on the road. I feel like Oklahoma State, and again, I haven't looked again at who they're playing next week, but I would not be surprised if Oklahoma State had a tough matchup next week, and this is a look-ahead spot. Baylor at home.
Next week, they have a bye.
They have a bye, and then Baylor at home. You know what? I feel a little bit better about it. Still don't love the road chalk, but okay. I believe in Joe Murray.
So. How about more road chalk? I'm not going to PP it, but I like it. Maryland at Rutgers. Fade Rutgers. Their only wins against UMass. Maryland's pissed off their blowout the other night or last week. 12 points right now.
Yeah, the thing that scares me about this is that Maryland looked like they were lost last week. They got exposed by Penn State. And I thought Maryland was going to keep that game kind of close. I like the 7 points versus Penn State. They got exposed. And I think when that happens, Joe, the next week you make or break your season. You either completely shit the bed and you're pretty much done from there because there's tape on you, or you continue to get better. I am going to say that Maryland shits the bed. I didn't think they were a great team coming into this year, and they surprised me early on. I think they're going to win, but I think Rutgers is going to find a way to cover this. This screams backdoor to me.
Okay, and I just think that Rutgers stinks.
Rutgers does stink, really. But how good is Maryland?
Not that good.
Okay, and that's my worry.
But
is that
they put up the most offense the first two games of the year. And
well, that's great, but again, they played Howard and Syracuse on a road back-to-back, which, by the way, 7-0. On the road team on a back-to-back is 0-7 for Power Fives.
Utah State travels to LSU. Probably not a favorable matchup for Utah State, who's 3-1, having a good year, opened at 24, gone up to 27.5. I mean, if anything, I like points, but when a spread's that high against a decent opponent, sometimes you have to lay the points. I'm not going to touch a side here, Dan, but LSU against UCLA, I mean, they're going to play a good quarterback.
Utah State is also a good team.
Yeah.
They didn't cover last week, and that kind of pissed me off, but, like, they were pretty... They were pretty good. By the way, I forgot to mention something. New Mexico is on a back-to-back road this week, so I forgot to mention that early on. But Utah State, Jordan Love is a good quarterback. They really were not good offensively last week, which scares me a little bit. This game should go over 73. It should. LSU just fucking scores, man. I think they're averaging like 52 points or something right now on the year. They just score. Utah State should score and keep up with them. I think they cover, but I don't feel good about taking either side in that one, Joe. Yeah, definitely feel the over, though.
Tulane at Army. So I like Tulane off the bat, but they're on the road. Now, Tulane beat Army 2 years ago, 21-17. That's the kind of game I see here. Army at home, though, that's the difference. But that Tulane defense, as we saw, they held Houston to no points in that second half. Couple of weeks back, they've had a week to prepare for Army,
and that was versus Derek King too.
Yeah,
I like Tulane. I would lean the road chalk in this one, although I did say I was going to lose a lot. But Tulane minus the 2.5, 3, whatever it is. I think Army is a nice home dog, but Tulane to me feels like a team that can win that conference, Joe. They just do. And I know they have to face Memphis or whatever. They probably won't win it, but they're a legit contender. Feel like Army just isn't as good as Tulane is. We saw how good Tulane was a few weeks ago. And yeah, I would definitely lean Tulane this one. I just feel like they're the better team. And I don't think the road advantage really should matter that much. I feel like Tulane should win by a touchdown here.
Interesting game. I'm going to lay off it, but I like Tulane. The big one at noon, though, Iowa travels to Michigan. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did this open at 13 points and gone down to 3.5?
No, that's probably the look ahead. This opened at 5.5.
Okay.
And it is down to 3.5. So you all know right. where the public and the sharps are. Okay. Everyone's on Iowa.
Let's just talk this out for a minute here. Okay. Iowa's been the better team this year. They have been. Michigan's got the bigger name. They lost to Wisconsin. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback for Michigan.
Probably going to be Patterson.
Iowa's the better team here. The better team. But can they go into the big house is the question. I don't know if I want to waste any more money on Michigan. The last time they played, Iowa won 14-13. So if you want to look at anything, maybe the total on the under is the way to go.
Yeah, I actually think this Iowa team is a little bit different. I think Michigan's going to score a little bit. I think Iowa is too. I don't really know how to feel about the spread on this one, man. It's tough because could you possibly want to back a Harbaugh-led team right now? And now by that, I mean Michigan. I know I can't. So I don't know about you, Joe, but like backing Michigan and Harbaugh is something I won't do. I would lean the over 47. Don't love it. This game feels like a stay away or second half play to me, Joe.
Ooh, second half. I love those things.
That's what it feels like. It feels like that.
That's a good game. Right now, I'm leaning Iowa 3.5, but we got some time.
It's just you can't back Harbaugh. You just can't right now. It's hard.
Can't do it either. One of the worst games I've ever seen, ever. South Florida at Connecticut.
You want to know why it's one of the worst games ever? Because I have a PP on me. Where do you think I'm going, Joe? If you had a guess.
I mean, it's got to be Central Florida.
You at USF? Incorrect.
I mean, Southern Florida.
Give me UConn plus 11.
Get out of here.
Dude, USF sucks.
No, I know they do, but get out of here.
No, dude, USF is like garbage. I think UConn has a chance to win this outright. Really, I do.
Oh, my God.
UConn looked like they could play last week. Dude, did you see what USF did last week? What did they do?
I don't know.
They got annihilated by SMU.
I'm surprised. SMU was undefeated.
Dude, they should not be laying 11 points to anyone. I don't care who they are.
You're right about that. You're right.
I mean, they lost to Georgia Tech, who might be the worst team in the Power 5 outside of the... I'm sorry. I will take the 11 with UConn, and I'll tell you guys, I really like this one.
Wow.
Really.
Wow. That's a shit game.
It is a shit game, but I think it's the right side. The total on that one is 53, or down to 50, open at 53, down to 50.5. I think there's going to be points. I think that total's moving the wrong way. I think there's going to be points in this one. I think USF is going to score a little bit, but UConn, the second half, UCF probably threw the second half, to be honest with you, but they moved the ball. Like, they were legitimately moving the ball last week. I think UConn is the right side. I'm sorry.
All right, moving on. Wisconsin, 36-point favorites against Kent State. Now, Wisconsin has just been an absolute beast. I mean, should I just say that they'll score 40 points again? Because that's all Wisconsin does.
I mean, against another MAC team? Yeah, probably. I mean, they did it to Central Michigan, right?
Yeah. I'm going to say Kent State covers.
It's gonna really?
48-14, Wisconsin.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean... I don't have a really good feel about anything in this game.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I don't have anything. I don't know. Maybe the under.
I don't know.
I don't feel good about the under either because I feel like Wisconsin could score 70 on them at any moment.
How about odds makers making Oklahoma 32 point favorites?
It was 35.5.
Now, we know what Kansas did against BC on the road. We know that Oklahoma is not BC. Okay. The last time they played, Oklahoma won 55-40 last year.
Here's my thing, Joe. Do you know who Oklahoma's playing next week?
Who we got?
Texas.
Red River Rivalry.
Red River Rivalry. This feels like a look-ahead spot, if there ever was one, for Oklahoma to just kind of breeze through the game. Les Miles feels like he could get his team somewhat prepared, although they were not prepared versus TCU last week. If you jumped on that with me, great. I'm gonna say lean Kansas here, Joe. Scarily, I'm not gonna play it, obviously. And by the way, Wisconsin might have a little small look ahead with Michigan State next week. So interesting. That might be there, but yeah, Oklahoma's a definite look ahead spot.
I've been taking Oklahoma every week. I might fade, but it's hard to fade a team that puts up 40 to 50 every week.
Agree, but it's. Do you feel like they might rest their guys in the second half, Joe?
Yep.
Like if you want to take Oklahoma, maybe a first half play would be the right side here. Mm. That would be the way I feel.
For TCU, Iowa State, I've kind of been non-impressed with Iowa State this year. They're favored at home. I don't really have a lean on this game.
I do.
Okay, what do you got?
No, go ahead. No, finish off.
No, just to me, TCU doesn't have a quarterback.
No, they don't, but they put up a lot of points last week, which is why, PP, give me the over 45 in this game. Why is the total so low? It was at 48, which I feel is more right. It should be right around 50. Iowa State has an explosive offense. We saw that, a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, they scored 29 versus Northern Iowa. I know the Iowa State-Iowa score is always low, but they scored 72 versus Louisiana Monroe and 21 versus Baylor. They should put up some points here. TCU puts up points. I mean, that is what they do. You know, they put up points, Joe. Like, TCU scored 51 versus Kansas last week and 38 versus SMU, 34 versus Purdue. This should not be that low. This is going to be a total that goes over. I feel strongly about that.
All right, and then we have one more new.
Did you have any lean on that? Iowa State
at home.
Really? 3.5?
I think TCU's been the better team. I don't like the 3.5.
You lean Iowa State?
No, I think Iowa State wins this game at home.
Okay, but you think TCU's been the better team?
3-1, yeah, I do.
But Iowa State's favored, so.
No, it's just because they're at home.
Gotcha, okay. I thought you were saying this makes sense, but.
Purdue goes to Penn State. Now, just Purdue's on the list, so I don't bet them.
So. They lost their quarterback, they lost their center, they lost their wide receiver, and they lost their best player.
When was it? Last was a couple of years ago. Remember, like, they dropped, oh no, it was Saquon. He had a big game. They dropped 64 on Penn State, Purdue, I mean.
Yep.
I feel like that's coming again. 28, though, not touching it.
No, I don't want to touch it either. I don't like the over. I don't like the side. This is, to me, a very clear stay-away game.
All right, Dan, explain to me this one, because I might be PPing it.
Oh, no, you're not going to want to PP this one. I know exactly what you're thinking. You got to stop.
Why is BC getting 6 points?
Because BC sucks, dude. They're not good. They're not. Did you watch them last week?
Yeah, they covered.
Yeah. Off.
They give the ball to A.J. Dillon, then he gets tired. They take him out, and they go 3-0.
Yeah.
That's literally what their offense is.
They got. Okay, think about it like this. How bad is Virginia Tech?
Bad now.
And they BC won by 7 at home. How bad is Kansas?
Dude,
Louisville's good.
No.
Yeah, Louisville is a good football team. But okay, how about this, Joe? I borderline almost made this a Louisville PP.
I feel like BC wins this outright.
Louisville is going to win this game and cover this game.
The line looks crazy. The line to me is like, because why are they -6? This should be a If anything, Louisville minus one or two.
This should be Louisville minus three or four. And the fact that it opened at 4.5, it's up to 6. The sharps are on the right side. I'm telling you, BC is a bad football team. You don't want to back them. You have to stop backing BC.
Well, I backed BC against Rutgers and they covered.
True. That's fair. I'll give you that.
Then I went against them and they covered last week.
Okay, that's
fair. They're not covering for
shit. They're not covering this week. They're not. How about this? I will not eat my own ass, but I will give you a salute of regret if
Listen,
they don't cover.
I'm not going to PP at people. I'm not PPing it.
Louisville made my list. They were very close to being a PP.
I'll tell you right now. If I can get that thing around 7.
Dude, okay, you want to know what's weird about this one, though? Have you seen the total on this one?
61. BC averages like 30 points a game, though.
Yeah, but they give up a lot, but they're, I don't know. It feels like it should go over. Like it should go over.
Now, you got Eastern Michigan and Central Michigan. You love Eastern Michigan. I've watched them play. I know that Central Michigan backdoored last week, did they?
Yes.
Against Western Michigan?
Yes.
I know in my heart of hearts that Eastern Michigan's a better team.
Yeah.
But do they go to Central Michigan and win by 6?
This was the last one that didn't make my list this week. This was the last cutoff. I just, too many PPs, too many plays. Eastern Michigan minus 6 should be a cover. Should be. They're a better team. Central Michigan was literally didn't score a single point the first three quarters versus Western Michigan last week. I understand that was on the road. But they did not deserve to cover a backdoor that game. Central Michigan should lose this game by a touchdown or 10 points. It just missed my list, but I feel very good about saying that Eastern Michigan should win this game and cover. So there are my thoughts on that one, Joe.
Okay. Okay. Moving on, we have Marshall versus Mid-Tennessee State. I got nothing.
Total set at 56. Marshall opened as 6.5-point favorites and are down to 3.5. Marshall got their dicks kicked in last week. I mean, they were bad. They were really bad versus Cincinnati. They lost 52-14, Joe. They just got demolished. I'm a little worried. I'm very worried about this team going forward, giving up 52 points to Cincinnati at home. They were at home. They go 50 fucking 2 points to Cincinnati. There is a legitimate concern for Marshall there. I would not back either of these sides. If I had to, I might consider Middle Tennessee State. Something happened with Marshall, and they're not the same team. They're very concerning to me right now.
Yeah, I got no play on this one. Ball State, Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois covered last week.
Yeah, I looked deep into this one. Ball State, the fact that it's only 4 is open at 4, very surprising to me. Northern Illinois is a better team. I don't understand this. I don't understand the total at 54. I don't understand anything about this game. I feel like I'm going to be on the wrong side if I take Northern Illinois, which I want to do. So I'm not going to play it. It feels like Ball State might pull an upset, which would be bad for our future win total because it's at 4. They haven't won a game yet, but it would be bad. I can't see Northern Illinois losing, but I don't want to touch it.
Virginia Tech goes to Miami. Virginia Tech, as we discussed already, stinks. They're 2-2. 0-4 against the spread. They go to Miami, who's at home, 2-0 at home this year. But for some reason, they're giving Virginia Tech 2 touchdowns. Now, I can see Miami winning by 10, but 14 sounds a lot to me.
Feels like a lot. Feels like a lot for a team that Miami sucks, too.
Miami has played 3 games divided by 5 points or less.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia Tech sucks.
The only good win they have is against Central Michigan.
Yeah, which is, and they barely beat Central Michigan, like barely, and Miami was at home. Now, Joe, Virginia Tech sucks and blows, coming from Maz, but, like, Miami is not much better. I would not lay the 14 with Miami. I would take Virginia Tech with a 14, which feels like a trap. Feels like they want you to take the Tech or Virginia Tech, but I would fall into the trap there. 14 is too many way with Miami, who is not a good team.
All right, Dan, we got a good one here. We have in this game Air Force versus Navy. Navy getting 3.5 points at home. I like Air Force. I like him and that quarterback. But Dan, your thoughts on a road team going against Navy at home getting 3.5?
Yeah, give me Navy in this one. I will take the home dog with 3.5 points. Stupid. Listen, I like Air Force. I get it. I do. I think Jones and Arkin are fucking beep-bopping in there. I like Air Force. I think they're a good team. But I think Navy is going to win this one. I do. I think this one probably goes under. Like, feels like the under is the right side, first half under, whatever. I'm not going to play anything in this one. I just think that Navy is a good team. They should not be giving points at home despite how good Air Force is. That's my opinion. Opened at 2, Joe, would not be surprised if they won by 3, but I feel like Navy is going to cover and win.
Ooh.
You like Air Force?
Yeah. I'm not going to play it. I don't want to go against you.
No, I'm not going against it. I feel like Navy might win.
Listen, Navy played Memphis, last week? Tough game. Memphis tore them apart second half.
Yep.
Air Force has been beating everybody, including Colorado.
I mean, they got backdoored by San Jose State, and they got literally demolished by Boise State.
Yeah, I'm gonna look at that.
Air Force beat Colorado, which is their only good win of the year.
Yeah,
they beat Colgate and San Jose State.
Navy's played tougher games.
Seriously, I mean, I think they have. They lost to Michigan, or lost to Memphis. I mean, but they beat Eastern Carolina and they beat them pretty convincingly. They also beat hitting Holy Cross. I don't think either team really has a good win.
Like a buddy at Holy Cross.
Yeah.
All right. Minnesota's playing Illinois. We already know that Illinois sucks. We know that they suck from
here. They suck and blow, Mike. Yeah.
Okay. Illinois, I believe, won this game last year, 55-31.
Yep.
Minnesota's 4-0. Like, they're good.
Dude, Minnesota, if I can do a mea culpa, Minnesota, I was wrong. They're a good team, dude. Like, they're really good. They beat Fresno State, Georgia Southern, Purdue, and I can't remember their FCS win, but it was against South Dakota State, I think. Good FCS school. Like, they have 4 legit wins. Not just 4 wins, Joe. 4 legit wins.
Tanner Morgan is their quarterback. He's having a hell of a year.
And Fleck,
4 touchdowns.
Fleck is turning that team into exactly what he did before. I mean, you know, he is really good. Remember, he was the guy who, like, was crushing with Western Michigan. He's turned Minnesota into a good program.
So, listen, I think Minnesota wins this game, but here's what Illinois is at stake. They play Wisconsin and then Michigan back-to-back. So they kind of need this game.
Yeah, they're not winning this game.
They're not.
They're not winning this game.
And plus, it's payback from last year.
Dude, to me,
and they're at home, Minnesota.
Everything screams Minnesota this game. I mean, if you take Illinois, I don't know why you would. You want to know what else? This is fucking homecoming. It's homecoming too. And it is somewhat
There's
of a
another
look
homecoming
ahead.
Game later it's in the show.
Somewhat,
we'll talk about.
It's somewhat look ahead because they do face Nebraska next week, but I'm not sure how much of a look ahead that is anymore because Nebraska has been terrible so far. So I would take Minnesota and the points, and I would take the under here for sure. I would take Minnesota and the under. That would be me. I don't think Illinois is going to score.
Can Notre Dame win by 46 against Bowling Green?
Bowling Green is one of the bottom 5 teams in the country. Notre Dame should cover the 46. It will go under because Bowling Green will not score more than 10 points.
Okay. Western Michigan, Toledo. Toledo beat BYU outright last week. 2 teams that you like, Dan.
Western Michigan, Toledo. Yeah, so this is a really weird line. Toledo opened at 4. They're down to 1.5 in some places, 2 in others. Total sitting at 71.5. It's going to go under, okay? Western Michigan scores a lot. Toledo score a lot. But Toledo's defense has been better. Western Michigan's defense looked legit last week. So I am a little worried about that. I think that game will go under. I don't want to touch Toledo. Like, they're coming off a physical football game versus BYU, you know? Like, they're coming off a tough game. And they have a really nice, easy win next week. But I would lean Western Michigan, but I'm definitely not playing it.
So here's an interesting one for me. I watched Arkansas State versus Troy last week. Very, very good game. Came down to the final play. Arkansas State won fair and square as an underdog. They're now dogs again on the road at Georgia State. Georgia State's giving them 7.5. I mean, it's back-to-back road games now for Arkansas State, but they put up a ton of points. I'm not going to bet this one, but I'm getting my eye on Arkansas State. They're pretty solid. I mean, they're 3-2, but I think they've had a pretty good season. So
they're 1-0 in the Sun Belt. Back-to-back road games. I mean, so that's the thing you look off the top. They also got shut out versus Georgia. So, I mean, playing up to good competition, whatever. You know, they beat UNLV, which is a nice win. Southern Illinois Rose doesn't do anything for me, and they beat Troy. And Troy Skill scored 43 on them. So this game should go over. Feel decently okay about going over 67, but Georgia State, again, beat Tennessee. And while they don't have another good win, I think they will find a way to cover the 7.5 versus Arkansas State. Sun Belt Division. This is a conference game, too. You know, like, these do get played a little bit closer. You have to consider that. I would give this to Georgia State to cover the 7.5.
All right, let's get through a couple of games, and there's some really good ones here. But Ohio goes to Buffalo. I have no real lean on this one. Buffalo is getting 3 points at home, though. And Ohio has always been somewhat of a favorite, and I'm not in on them.
Yeah, the total opened at 55 is down to 50.5. I think everyone's probably playing the under in this one. Buffalo just gave up through four turnovers last week, two pick sixes. They look like crap. I'm not backing Buffalo. Give me Ohio in the 3 if I'm taking anything in that one.
Texas travels to West Virginia. Both teams at 3-1. Whenever Virginia wins, they play at home, and they do well. They're getting 10.5 points from Texas. Now, granted, I think Texas is the better team. I think they have the better quarterback. I'm a little nervous about this one. Last year, I had Texas, and I had them at home, and West Virginia and Will Grier came back, and they killed me. So they lost by one. So is this payback for Texas now? Do they go into West Virginia and win this game? Austin Kendall's played better for West Virginia. We know about Texas can do. The running game with Ingram has been very good over the last couple of weeks here. But any shot of backing West Virginia here?
Yeah, I would definitely back West Virginia. Texas on a look ahead to the Red River rivalry. To me, that is a massive part of it. Not to mention, the trip to West Virginia feels like a very tough one.
Especially, is this an early game too? 3:30.
3:30. It's not too early, but Morgantown, and they got to travel in Eastern time zone compared to Texas. Like, it's always a tough travel for, like, the Big 12 or whatever the hell they are now. It always feels like those teams, and again, West Virginia is only recently new in that conference. Feels like this is going to be a tough road trip. You know, like, everyone goes out there. Like, you know what teams struggle going to Syracuse? You know, like, I feel like this is it's very similar. I would stay away from Texas. I would back West Virginia in this spot, to be honest with you, and the under. I would look at both of those.
Okay,
West Virginia more so.
Baylor goes to Kansas State. I watched Baylor play last week. They're 4-0 now. Kansas State right now is a 1-point favorite at home. They opened up as 3.5-point favorites. I'm a little torn on this one because I think Baylor has the better quarterback, better offense. They're just playing better football. But Baylor struggled in the second half. They needed a field goal to win that game. They blew a lead here. Now, Kansas State's coming off that loss last week. We were kind of high on them a week ago. You know, so like the way
Oklahoma State blew them out, man. It wasn't close.
Yep, it was not at all. And I bet that second half too in that game. But, you know, the more I look at this one here, I like Kansas State at home. But it's kind of hard for me to go against Baylor just the way they're playing. But if we went off what both teams did last week, Baylor played better, almost lost at the end, but kicked the field goal to win, where Kansas State just didn't really compete against Oklahoma State.
The one thing I am concerned about is that Baylor has not won on the road yet outside of Rice. They beat Rice.
Yeah.
Beat them by 8. I mean, it was definitely and not that a was
kind of
win.
That's always kind of been their thing. Like, even when they had Robert Griffin III and all these other guys.
Yeah, that's my one concern. Kansas State has been good on the road. They beat Mississippi State. I understand they lost to Oklahoma State last week. Oklahoma State is just so tough to beat at home. They didn't play that well. Kansas State back at home, though, as much as I do like Baylor, and this is probably the wrong side because I know the Sharps disagree. The Sharps are definitely going to be on Baylor in this one. It feels to me like Kansas State should win. This is going to be a weird game. I got to be honest with you, Joe. If you bet this game, you have a lot of balls. I don't see a lot of edge in this one.
Yeah, I don't either. I'll give you one where I see an edge, though. The number 7 team in the country goes on the road to Florida against the number 8 team in the country.
Oh, boy. I know exactly.
So you know what I'm PPing, right?
You're
square as hell.
Dude, don't do it. Don't. I'm telling you.
Here's why. So let's lock it up. Let's do Auburn, PP, lock it up. Boom, boom, lock it up. Now I'm riding my, this is my team. I'm riding them.
They're going to lose.
So here, tell me why. Because Bo Nix has proven he can go on the road and win games. Okay. Like, this kid Trask has played pretty well. What did he complete, 18 straight passes last week or whatever against Tennessee? Like, no. I'm sorry. I've watched Florida. They can't tackle.
Yeah.
They can't tackle.
But the thing about Auburn is, and this is, when I looked in this game, I agreed. When I saw the line open, I initially thought, okay, Auburn at 2.5, that's fucking low. Circa opened it at 2. That's initially when I immediately got scared. Maybe Auburn wins by a field goal, but what does Auburn do offensively? They run the ball. And Florida's biggest strength is stopping the run, Joe, up front. Strength for strength, I would lean towards Florida.
Who's
and that
the better quarterback?
It's definitely Nix, but he's a freshman. How big of an edge is it? Is it that much of an edge?
Yes.
I don't think it's that much of an edge
on
the road.
I think Auburn's defense is better, and they have a better quarterback.
Auburn's defense is definitely better, but again, Auburn's offense is about running the football. So if you're going to make Nix stand back there and throw 30 times a game, give me Florida. And that's why I would lean Florida. That's the only thing that scares me. The other thing is that if Auburn wants to win this game, they're going to have to score some points, Joe. This is not going to be, you know, a 20-13 type of game.
No, I see Auburn winning this game 17-10.
See, I don't think that's the type of game it's going to be at all. I think Auburn's going to have to score 30 if they want to win.
Wow.
Yeah, Florida's going to score. They are. They're not a good team, but they can move the ball offensively.
Wow. All I'm telling you, listeners, is this: I'm not fading Auburn until they lose. So, fade or follow.
Fair enough.
But I'm going with Auburn.
I am concerned, but you know what? You're hot. I'd ride it. You're hot.
Memphis goes to UL Monroe as 14.5-point favorites. It's 4-0. They probably should cover that, but I'm not much of a UL Monroe guy. Moving on, Northwestern goes to Nebraska. Any value in Northwestern here to get Nebraska off a terrible game?
Well, Northwestern is on a back-to-back roadie, so you know what that means. Give me Nebraska. Teams in the spot, and we've talked about it. If you're first time listening to the podcast, Power 5 teams on a back-to-back road game, the second game of the back-to-back, 0-7 straight up.
Wow.
Nebraska is laying 6.5. I think they're going to cover the 6.5. I would take Nebraska. And Joe, I give it a money line. I give it a parlay piece every week on the money line. Nebraska is my parlay piece this week. Last week, Arizona, even without Khalil Tate and their starting running back, beat UCLA last week. Guess what? That moves parlay pieces to 6-0 on the year. I like Nebraska as the parlay piece this year. Not a PP, but I think Nebraska covers the 6.5.
Troy goes on the road to Missouri. Troy lost last week in a heartbreaker on the goal line to Arkansas State. Missouri has played well, 3-1, with their 24.5-point favorites. Woof.
Yeah, I also felt that this one was also one that just missed my list, Joe. Troy should cover this number, right? Like, I'm not crazy. This is too big for Missouri, who, again, lost to Wyoming outright as a 17-point favorite. I get that was on the road and they were in Laramie, but this is still at home. Troy should be able to score on Mizzou. Like, it should be a decent scoring game, but this is I like Troy to cover the 24.5, 25, whatever you get. This just missed to me.
Okay, and then North Carolina plays one of the worst teams in all of football, Georgia Tech, on the road, 10.5 right now. I like North Carolina. I'm not going to bet it, though.
Yeah, I mean, the whole world's going to be in North Carolina this week. You know, I the thing about North Carolina, Joe, and I think you could watch all these North Carolina games. You could say this. They start really slow. And then they finished strong.
Best second half team. They covered again last week.
They didn't start slow last week versus Clemson, but they got up for the game. Mm-hmm. This is a game they don't really have to get up for. They can probably roll out of bed and win the game. I think Georgia Tech might cover this game. I wouldn't bet it, but I think they might. I wouldn't touch UNC. And by the way, everyone loves this under. I mean, every single person I've talked to told me, like, is on this under. I don't think this is an under game. I think it's an over game, but maybe that's just me.
Western Kentucky goes to Old Dominion. I have no play on this one.
I have a PP on this one.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Western Kentucky, Old Dominion, under 44.5 PP. The total was set at 45. It's down to 44.5. I don't know why the fuck this would be an over, or why people would want to play the over in this one. Western Kentucky is a defensive team. That's what they do. They limit you. Their offense is garbage. Old Dominion at home doesn't allow points. That's what they do. They're a defensive team. This one's going under, I think, pretty easily. Under 44.5 is the easy play here.
Okay. Talk me out of this one. Arizona goes to Colorado. We don't know if Khalil Tate is going to play.
Sounds like he is not playing. The early word, again, not official, but the early word is that he's not playing.
So true freshman Grant Gunnell played pretty well last week, I got to admit.
He was okay.
He now goes on the road.
Can I be honest with you? I actually thought Gunnell was pretty fucking terrible.
Really?
Yeah, he missed a lot of open plays.
He went 29 of 44 for 352.
So he hit one play for 75 yards. That was a touchdown. And then he had another big play, and then they called half of it back. I don't think he was actually that good. I watched that whole game. I don't think he was that good. I thought Arizona was very average moving the ball. I thought Gunnell missed a lot of open throws.
So I like Colorado minus 4 PP.
So, yeah, and I'll play the bell.
Play the bell. Play it up.
Yeah, I just
did. I just am fading Sumlin on the road.
Yeah.
And a true freshman, if it's not Khalil. Now, listen, I got beat on this game last year. Arizona beat Colorado, but it was in Arizona. And Khalil Tate threw for 6 touchdowns.
Colorado minus 4 is the right side, Joe. It's chalky. It's favorite. It's square. But Kevin Sumlin on the road without Khalil Tate, I mean,
the only thing I'll give Arizona credit for is I believe they're like one of the top. They have nine interceptions this year defensively.
They're 3-1. They should lose this game. They should lose this game.
Colorado's the better
Colorado
team.
At home in the elevation should win this game.
Boom. Boom, boom.
I agree. It's square. It's square, Joe. No doubt about it. But I think Colorado's the better team.
Rice goes to UAB. UAB 9.5. Rice is still 0-5, but they've been covering 3-1 against the spread this year, Rice.
UAB lost outright to Western Kentucky last week in an embarrassing effort. I'm not laying 10 with them.
By the way, I used to work with Chris Felica, the Bear, on College Game Day years ago. Last week he had two of the games that you were on, and he had Western Kentucky outright on.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I think we were on the same side of both of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had Western Kentucky last week. I told you I couldn't back Western Kentucky in the spot. I don't think they're a good team. I don't think they are. But yeah, I can't back UAB after that. I UAB is so up and down right now, man. It's tough. And Rice is a good defensive team. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm out on this one.
It feels like an under game. The sharp look like it's going to go over. I'm out on the whole game.
Okay. UMass goes to FIU. 27.
Dude, I like FIU. I think they're going to crush UMass. I don't think... I know
this might be the night to like let loose for
27
FIU.
Is such a big number, but like,
this might be the night.
But like FIU, you know what I mean? Like FIU yeah. lost.
They
to
should
LA
be. There were a lot of hype earlier in the year. They've lost some close games.
They're off a bye. Like this feels like where FIU gets on track for their season. I agree, Joe. I think FIU is going to cover this one. I think they beat UMass by like 30 going away.
All right, two games here that are interesting to me. Georgia goes to Tennessee. At Tennessee. We know Tennessee sucks. Okay. 24.5, though, Georgia. I don't know why, but I like Georgia on the road here.
You mean Tennessee?
No, I like Georgia on the road.
Oh, well, you like Georgia on the road because it's Georgia versus Tennessee.
I think they're going to win 38-7.
I don't know, dude. Again, road chalk this week scares me. I would stay away from the road chalk, okay. The heavy road chalk.
All right, how about home chalk? Ohio State against Michigan State.
Yeah.
20 points.
This also just missed my list for the under. I really like the under 50 in this one. I think this is going under. Michigan State is still, despite what they did versus Indiana last week, and they were bad, and I lost that PP, lost the under last week, which sucks because I almost took the Wisconsin under as my PP, which you took first half and won on that easily. I should have taken that game. I like the under again this week. I go back to that well. Ohio State laying 20.5. I think Michigan State covers the number, Joe. I do. I can't remember who Ohio State's playing. I'll look it up. But I think they're playing someone pretty good next week. They're playing Northwestern. I lied. But then they have Wisconsin. Maybe it's a double look at. I don't know. They have a bye actually next week. I lied. You know what?
This is where game day is.
God, I can't.
Ohio State and Auburn have been the two best teams in the country.
It's an under game. I would go under. Michigan State doesn't score, maybe. I want to back Michigan State here, but I can't.
It's hard.
I can't do it.
And it's hard to go against Ohio State at home, man. Yeah. 4-1 against the spread this year, Ohio State.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Vanderbilt at Mississippi.
So, Vandy didn't cover last week. I liked Mississippi initially off the early lean, but, man, I think that Vandy probably covers this 7.5. I think that thing is going to go over. I think Vandy's going to score, too. This thing should go over 63.
An interesting game here that some people might not care about, but SMU is 5-0. They're at home. They're giving 13 points to Tulsa. Tulsa beat them outright last year. SMU is having a good year. I feel like Tulsa hangs around.
So I agree. This one also just missed my list. I like Tulsa in the 13 a lot. I think Tulsa hung around versus Oklahoma State. They beat Wyoming, who is a good, Mountain West team. SMU has been impressive constantly, but they've actually haven't been super impressive.
But they're 5-0 against the spread, SMU.
They're 5-0 against the spread. I would still take Tulsa in the 13. I think this game is going way over, by the way, like way over. There should be 70, 75 points in this game. I'm not going to take it because the only thing that worries me is if Tulsa can score enough, but should go over and Tulsa should score.
Okay, wrapping up. We got a couple more games to go. Liberty at 0-5 New Mexico State. Is it worth taking Liberty at -4.5 against New Mexico State? Because I think it would be.
Yeah, it's tough. So, actually, Joe, funny story. Liberty plays New Mexico State twice this year. Yeah. They do a home-and-home in the same year with Liberty. It's a weird thing. I don't know why. But they play at Liberty in a few months. So, I would tell you not to bet this game and wait to see what happens. I would lean towards Liberty and laying the chalk.
Yeah, but you said road chalk.
But again,
but it's the worst. One of the worst.
But New Mexico
teams in the
State
world.
Is one of the worst teams in the country. I would lay the four Liberty, okay. But I don't feel great about it. And this game should go under.
All right, moving on. Texas San Antonio's at Texas El Paso. I got nothing, but it's a short spread.
I got a pee-pee on this one.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dude, UTSA and UTEP are very similar teams. I think UTSA is a pretty significantly better team, though. Like, I don't think UTEP is very good. And I'm very, very scared for them. You know, kind of coming up, I would say that UTEP is in serious trouble. They got demolished by Nevada at home. Like that should scare the shit out of you if you want to back UTEP. And I get UTSA is not good, but they hung around with Army and they crushed Incarnate Word. I lost Incarnate Word week one. Going back to the well here, give me UTSA plus 1.5.
Woof.
And actually, just give me the money line. You know, really, UTSA is going to win this game. They're a better team than UTEP, who is scarily bad at home.
Okay. Pittsburgh.
UTEP almost lost to an FCS team who sucks, by the way. Houston Baptist is garbage, and they almost lost at home to them. So,
Duke hosts Pitt. Duke has got 5 points right now giving to Pitt. Pitt barely beat Delaware, and I was all over that game last week, and I didn't touch it. I knew Delaware was going to stay close. Pitt lost a quarterback and two running backs in that game.
Yeah.
Looked like they won't play this week. Duke's at home. Pitt on the road. Pitt won this game 55-44 last year. That was like they went back and forth all game here. I gotta go against Pitt again. I don't know why, but I'm scared.
You taking the
No, pee-pee? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing a pee-pee.
How about this? Maybe this will make you feel a little bit better. I like Duke, too. I think that Duke is the right side. Pitt lost a lot last week. And again, they kind of had their Super Bowl a couple weeks ago. Massive letdown versus Delaware, which I thought they would cover last week versus Delaware. Really did. But maybe they're just... Maybe Delaware just wasn't scared of going into Pittsburgh and playing there, plus the injuries. Pitt, to me, it's going to be tough. The coach, there's a lot of factors that go into why I don't love Pittsburgh this week. I would take Duke and the 5, and I do think this is going to go under. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. Both teams have pretty good defenses. I would take Duke in the under.
Cal goes to Oregon. Cal will be without their starting quarterback.
Two starting quarterbacks. They're down their backup quarterback this week, too.
Give me Oregon PP minus 18 at home.
17. And guess what, Joe? Double PP that bitch. Me and Joe on a double PP laying chalk at home. Oregon minus 17 at home. I love it, Joe. I think Oregon's the right side.
I think Cal's got a good defense. I do.
I do too. But like,
they're going to get a lot of threes.
Dude, Oregon, Cal doesn't have their starter or their backup or their center or their second wide receiver.
Hmm. Oregon State goes to UCLA. I don't know how to feel about UCLA after last week's loss to Arizona. I know Oregon State sucks. I got nothing on this game.
Feels like a game Oregon State might slip and win outright. Probably won't, but it feels like it could. This game should go over. Both these teams score a ridiculous amount of points and just hit massive plays. So that was definitely my favorite, was the over of 65.5 in this one. I don't love a side. I would definitely lean the over.
Okay, and San Diego State, 3-1, goes to 1-4 Colorado State. Total is 52. Colorado State's getting 7.5 at home. I like San Diego State, but again, road chalk might be something to stay away from.
My final PP of the college football segment, Colorado State plus 7.5 PP. I like San Diego State a lot. I think they're a really good team, and I enjoy watching them play. The problem is they don't score a lot on the road, okay? They just don't. They put up 23 points on the road versus UCLA and 31 versus New Mexico State, who is the worst team, might be one of the worst teams in the country, as we just kind of talked about, okay? New Mexico State. It's going to be – I just don't see them scoring enough to stay with Colorado State. I don't think Colorado State – I would be careful, maybe sprinkle the money line here. Colorado State, I didn't give them enough credit last week. They continuously come at you in waves. There's going to be turnovers for Colorado State. There just are. but they will score some points against you, and they will keep it close all game. They should cover the 7.5, and they might win outright, Joe.
All right, Boise goes to UNLV. I got nothing on this one.
Nothing. Again, road chalk this week scares me. This first week of really conference games, I would be careful with Boise on the road. 21 in the hook. UNLV feels like the right side.
And then finally, Washington goes to Stanford. I'm not going to do it.
Road chalk, Washington. Washington should
cover. But I'm going to tell you that I think Stanford covers that game.
Really? I think Washington covers that game. Stanford sucks. You got to stop. You like BC and Stanford. You love backing these sucky teams every week. It's weird. I don't know why. Like, usually you're like Joe. Like, I like playing the favorites.
I got Auburn. I got Colorado.
You're like, okay. My teams. And Auburn. I think Auburn scares me. Colorado, I think, is right. But, like, Stanford and BC, two teams that fucking blow, man.
Whatever, man.
Stanford's, I don't think Stanford's covering.
They're
that.
At
I think,
home.
I think Washington blows them out by 17, 20.
They should blow them out.
Yeah. What? Hey, you like Washington. Why are you taking Washington here? That confuses me.
I do like Washington, but I think Stanford is playing better.
They almost blew a 21
I know. To I Oregon know. State.
How are they playing better?
I'm not touching it. Okay. I'm not touching the game for all those.
You are a mystery, and that's why this podcast is interesting.
That's why it is fantastic.
That's why this podcast is interesting.
All right, let's do some NFL coming up next here on Over Under 95.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
It's Over Under 985. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. And we got NFL games.
Just gave out a bunch of PPs in the college section. If you didn't listen to them, go back and listen. We gave out a bunch.
We have a London game this week?
We do.
But it's not at 9 a.m.
It is Oakland, Chicago, I believe, is the London
game. It's not the early game, though.
No, it's not.
I missed those 9 a.m.
We got to talk about Thursday Night Football first, though.
Yes. The Rams go to Seattle. I'm curious, Dan, how you feel about this game. And I'm going to tell you right now, off the bat, I like the Rams for a few reasons.
I agree.
One, home field means nothing in the NFL. If there's anything that I've learned, home teams and underdogs are what is winning. That is what's winning. Who's the home team? Seattle. Who's the favorite? Seattle. Therefore, I like the Rams in the spot for that reason. And I just think the Rams are a better team.
I just think it's an overreaction to what happened last week. The Rams, everyone's going to think they suck now, because they lost to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay just played extremely well. Winston played out of his mind. And the Rams still scored. I mean, Goff wasn't great, but he wasn't terrible. And again, Seattle Arizona held, they didn't cover, but Arizona was in that game at points. I don't feel great about Seattle right now. I would take the Rams and the under. I definitely like the Rams. Not a PP, didn't make it, but I like the Rams this week. I think they opened as a favorite for a reason, in my opinion.
Agree. Total 47. I'm not going to touch that.
49 and a half now.
Wow. A lot of points. Minnesota goes to the Giants. Giants are getting 5.5 again. Call me crazy, but I like Minnesota in this spot.
Yeah, I definitely can't back.
I know.
I don't want to get in front of the Daniel Jones train. Maybe you do. I don't want to get in front of it. And, Joe, there are rumors and strong whispers that Diggs is going to get traded this week to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the problem is the Pats only have $2 million in cap space.
Yeah.
They need to get to $7 million to do it.
Not true. If they trade Landon Roberts, they can get to $4 million and convert Diggs's contract into that, into a signing bonus and get him down to like $2.3 million.
So the cap is crap. They can do it.
They can do it.
They're probably going to give
it. I've heard rumors of why they might not, and we'll talk about that off air. But Minnesota held Diggs out today for non-football related reasons. Okay, you don't do that unless something is close to being done, in my opinion, Joe. And we've seen Diggs kind of comment on his Instagram, whatever. I would just be very wary about taking Minnesota without Diggs and with Cousins sucking the proverbial ass of every team. I mean, how bad was he last week? The Bears crushed them, and it should have been by more. The Bears should have covered that game even easier than they did. And the fact that everyone loved Minnesota last week was just a fucking embarrassment. I didn't understand that at all. To me, this is... I don't want to get in front of the Danny Dimes train. It's not the same, but just with the factors of Minnesota, distractions, the players calling out Cousins for being a bad quarterback, and Danny Dimes looking good. I don't want to get in front of that train. I definitely would not take Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. It's not a PP or anything. It's just
that's fair. I can't do it.
Chicago goes to England against Oakland. Blah blah. Blah, 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 blah. These games go under, and the favorite always wins. So give me Chicago.
So I talked to Will Brinson about this, and Brinson brought up a really good point. Gruden has some sort of travel issue. So,
well, they had to go to East Coast last week and now go to London.
Not only that, but Gruden last week, whatever it is, like... Or Gruden last year had to travel for his son's, I don't know, his son does some big weird fucking thing. Anyways, he traveled for his son's whatever thing to Ukraine or some fucking 13-hour flight, right? Gruden said he couldn't think straight for a month after that. He had vertigo, whatever. He says it happens to him constantly while in London. I'm not going to take a side here, but going forward, Joe, we should look to fade Oakland because... After Oakland went to London, they got demolished. They weren't a good team last year, but they got demolished. I'm not touching Oakland this week or anything like that, but there's a good chance that Gruden has some issues going forward. And this is all credit to Will Brinson, by the way. I would not do that. But yeah, the over-under is 40. I would lean the over. Lean it very small. Feel like Chicago might score a defensive touchdown here. Oakland puts up a little bit of points here. Not a divisional game where it's different and there's a lot of, the teams know each other well. I would lean Oakland and the over. I don't feel good about either of them.
Okay, and I read some stats about teams playing in London, and it's not very good. I'll see if I can pull those up here. Through the podcast. Okay, we got the Patriots going to Washington. I'm staying off the Pats because they've burned me 2 weeks in a row. We don't know who the field goal kicker is going to be going forward with Steven Gostkowski going on the injured list.
I mean, I've hinted on the podcast that he was hurt, by the way. So if you didn't pick up on it, I can't help you.
I'm off this, but I think the Pats, I think they're going to go Colt McCoy. But the Pats, I'm not touching this.
I took the Pats early at 14. I got it right when it opened, and I bought it down to 13.5. Took it for some money at 15.5, which is where the line is now. You can't take the Patriots. I might even look at Washington, especially if they start Colt McCoy. I don't feel great about it. If Haskins starts, though, look the fuck out. And by the way, if Haskins starts, this thing will go over because – the Pats will score some defensive touchdowns or get a bunch of turnovers or whatever. So, yeah, we've been pretty good about the Patriots, Joe. We called them not covering last week. I would, if Washington starts Haskins, Washington's in trouble. Colt McCoy starts, maybe you can make a case for backing them. Probably at 17 or 18, though.
All right, and then we have the Jets traveling to Philadelphia. 13.5. Luke Falk going on his second road game in Philly. Philly looked good against the Packers.
They did, and I was on Philly. I thought they were the right side. Joe, let me ask you, do you feel like we can have, like, PPs if certain situations arise? Like, I guess I'm blanking on what the word would be. Situational PPs, maybe? How do you feel about that?
I like that.
Okay. So how about this? Philadelphia minus 13 PP if Luke Falk is the starter. If it's Darnold, I'm not on it. But if Luke Falk is the starter, PP. And how I would approach this, I'll play a little bell there. How I would approach this, Joe, if I was someone, I would take Philly at the 13 now. And then if Darnold is called the starter, I would rush onto the screen and get the Jets plus whatever if you want to cancel it out. That would be the way I would look at it. Even though I still kind of feel okay with the 13 with Darnold just because he doesn't look great weight-wise. I don't think he's going to start this week. But that's the way I would look at it. Situational PP, Eagles minus 13.
Here's a game I'm torn on. Saints-Bucks. Spreads 3. Bucks off a big win, scoring 40 points. New Orleans off a big win against Dallas. Why only 3? And why do I like the Bucks?
I don't really like the Bucks. I don't know.
Don't you feel like a lot of the money is going to come in on New Orleans here?
Not really. Teddy Bridgewater sucks and blows. By the way, if you think Teddy Bridgewater is a good backup quarterback, fuck you. Chase Daniel is a better backup quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater.
I'm a big Chase Daniel guy.
Chase Daniel is way better than Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater sucks, dude. Oh, my God, does he suck. I'll put it like this. I wouldn't bet this money. I wouldn't bet this game with your money. I wouldn't do it. I don't know what side is right on this one. It feels like Tampa Bay might be the right side to me, but at 3, can't do it. My favorite thing in this game, Joe, I like the over. Over 47, I think there'll be some points, right? But at the same time, the Saints defense is good. I want nothing to do with this game. Nothing.
All right, Dan, you're not going to like me here.
Oh, boy.
Give me Pittsburgh plus 3.5 PP hosting Baltimore.
Great. We can go against each other. Baltimore minus 3.5 PP. I don't know why you would want to take Pittsburgh. They suck.
Do you know how much the Baltimore defense stinks?
Dude, it doesn't matter. The Pittsburgh defense can't stop Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. The Cleveland defense is good, and they gave up 30 to Baltimore almost. Pittsburgh defense isn't as good, and offensively, they suck. Mason Rudolph sucks. They scored 24 points against the Bengals, and it took them to the second half to figure out how to move the ball.
See, but all I'm telling you is Baltimore has given up 350 to Kyler Murray, 380 to Mahomes, 340 to Baker, and gave up over 165 yards on the ground to Nick Chubb last week.
Okay.
Granted, all good teams.
Okay.
But why can't Pittsburgh put yards on them, too?
Okay. And the Steelers gave up 33 to the Patriots.
I know. All 28 right,
to
right,
the Seahawks. Right. 24 to the Niners. I'm just saying.
We're going head-to-head, people.
So head-to-head PP, we wash it out. How we count it as 1-1 against the record. No juice. That's how we do it. You can either fade me or follow me, or fade Joe or follow him. I think the Steelers fucking suck. I'm on Team Raven.
Just remember that, everybody. Dan hates Pittsburgh.
Dude, they're not a good team.
And
the coach is terrible. The coach is terrible.
Oh, it's such a square play.
For what, Baltimore?
Yes.
Oh, you think Baltimore? Dude, okay. You think Baltimore's a square play? You know what? I can't do this. You know what? Go ahead. Just go ahead. Baltimore, I'm fucking. I am laying the hammer on Baltimore this week. Dan, I'm not pissed.
He got so pissed.
I'm a little pissed.
See?
I got a little triggered there.
he's pissed.
Sometimes I feel like you just make plays to piss me off.
Sometimes the listeners just got to figure that out.
Okay, but you know, but this is not. No, a joke.
I actually like Pittsburgh.
He actually likes Pittsburgh. Yeah, I do. I'm telling you. Okay,
I don't think Baltimore's got the same defense. That's all I'm saying.
Baltimore's going to fucking roll this team by 20.
Okay, Cincinnati, who sucks. I'm sorry, plays another team that sucks at Arizona. I don't know which team sucks worse at sucking. Cincinnati's favored. How the hell does that happen?
Shouldn't that tell you everything you need to know? Cincinnati minus three, PP. Dude, Arizona's not that really good of a team, and Cincinnati has, they've lost, but they've been in every single game. Like, just look outside of the Pittsburgh game. They were not in that game. They lost 20-21 in the Seahawks. They got blown out by the Niners. They were in the game versus the Bills. I'm going to take the Bengals and trust them here. I'm going to take Bengals and lay the three. It opened at four. Everyone is on Arizona. And when everyone is on a bad dog on the road, you are fucking crazy. Give me the home team in a bad matchup laying three. I think they probably win by seven.
All right. Jacksonville goes on the road to Carolina. Kid Allen's won three in a row on the road. Now they come home. They play Minshew in Jacksonville. They've won road games. I'm absolutely torn on this game. I got nothing on it.
Yeah, this one just missed the list for me. Like, this was so close. I might end up adding this one on Sunday. I really like the Panthers. I think Jacksonville won a game at Denver. Okay, so this is now a back-to-back road game for Jacksonville, which it's not college, but NFL teams do struggle, okay, on the back-to-back road games. Not to mention, Jacksonville barely beat Denver, whose defense isn't as good as Carolina's and offense isn't as good as Carolina's. I think Carolina with the 3.5 is the right side.
Ugh.
That's me. By the way, total on that one, 41. 41 in that one. The Pittsburgh-Baltimore total is 42.5. You know what that means? It's going under, baby. It's at 44 now, but that game is going under. The Pittsburgh-Baltimore game is going under. So,
Buffalo goes to Tennessee. Tennessee, a big win. Buffalo, a bad loss. Buffalo goes on the road now. Tennessee comes back home. Tennessee's favored. I'm so torn on this one.
I don't feel good about this game. I don't feel good about it at all. I don't feel good about Tennessee. I don't feel good about Buffalo. The total, is 38.5 or 39. I don't feel good about anything. This is one of those games, Joe, where I'm just going to let it as it goes, and I'm not going to play it. I'm just going to completely ignore it.
Yeah. Torn.
I don't have an edge.
No edge. Yeah. Denver goes to the LA Chargers. I thought Denver was going to beat Jacksonville last week. They're 0-4. They're going on a road now to the Chargers.
We missed the 1 o'clock game.
Oh, we missed. Sorry.
We can go back. Sorry. No, that's okay. Let's do this game. We can go back.
Denver goes to the Chargers. I'm not backing Denver anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm done. I'm done backing Denver.
I told you, dude.
I'm done.
They're not a good
give
team.
Give me Melvin Gordon to run all over them. Bradley Chubb's out. Give me the 6.5 PP Chargers.
I like it. I agree. I think that in the divisional home game, Denver is going to have to start looking to sell off. The Chargers aren't a good team, and they probably don't deserve to win many games, but they should be. Denver is one of the worst teams in the league now at this point. They should cover the 6.5. I agree. To me, it's the Chargers, and they win. I think they win by the hook there, Joe. I think they win by a touchdown.
And then we missed the Falcons, who I hate, going to Houston, who sucks. Ugh, two shit teams. I'm out.
I would lean Houston here. I do. I just think that Atlanta is just not a good team. We've seen it week in, week out.
They're going against another AFC team. We know what the record is against AFC teams.
Yep.
1-14.
Yep. They're not good versus the AFC. The Texans lost by 2 to the Saints. Lost by 6 to the Panthers. They've been in every game, and I feel like they're they're the better team. They should beat Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons by a touchdown. I like the minus five. I'm not going to PP it, but it's a pretty feel pretty strong.
Moving on. Green Bay at Dallas. Who had a worse loss last week? I'd say Green Bay.
No, I'd say Dallas. Dallas lost to a backup quarterback. At least Green Bay lost to a desperate Eagles team who was their season was probably pretty close to over if they start 1-3. So I think the loss is a little bit, and at least Green Bay was pretty close. I didn't feel like Dallas was ever really in that game. Didn't feel like Dallas was really.
How do you feel about this one? Without like making a pick. How do you feel about this game?
Feels like it's going to go over. I feel like the over is probably the right side.
I feel like Dallas is really good at home.
I think Dallas is the better team. I don't want to take the points with Green Bay. This is actually one I circled. I think I might end up taking Dallas Sunday. Like, I think there's a few games I might add on Sunday. Dallas is one of them. Carolina is one of them. Like, maybe Houston. I just feel like there's going to be a lot of... Everyone's going to be on the road favorites and the big, you know, Green Bay. Oh, they lost. They have to win. Here's a stat for you, Joe. And I think I said this to Felger. Aaron Rodgers... I don't know where I put it. Aaron Rodgers versus winning teams is like something like 9-24 in the past, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. They just don't beat winning teams. He doesn't beat winning teams. So I don't feel good about, I think it's somewhere in a Jones email that I actually sent it to. Here we go. I think I have it somewhere in here. Nope, never mind. That's not it either. But it's somewhere in there. He just doesn't beat winning teams. Just doesn't do it. So I don't feel very good about that one at all, unfortunately. I just don't.
Lean Dallas.
Packer, since 2012, Aaron Rodgers is 7-24 versus teams with a plus 500 record at the end of the season. AKA, he doesn't beat good teams anymore. Only two quarterbacks with worse records in that time span, minimum 25 starts. Kirk Cousins, 5-24, lost last week to a winning team. Aaron Rodgers probably lost last week to a team that's finishing over 500. And Matt Stafford is 9-54, lost to a team over 500 last week. All three. Keep up the trend.
It's a good trend.
Give me Dallas.
Good trend.
I lean Dallas.
Sunday Night Football. Indianapolis at Kansas City. Kansas City got a test last week. They came back. They won a game without Mahomes scoring a touchdown.
They did not deserve to win that game, by the way. Did not. You cannot convince me that they deserved to win that game.
I think it was a bad call on the...
The fumble?
Yeah.
Garbage. I think
that was a bad call.
He was down. Garbage call. They did not deserve to win.
So here, I want to take 11 points with Indy. I do. But I feel like Kansas City is going to be on display with Tyreek Hill coming back.
I agree.
I'm not going to go the double-digit favorite yet. I'm not going to do that. But I lean Kansas City.
I do too. Unfortunately, I would lean Indy. I think they are... I would lean Kansas City. I think they are the better team. I think that 11 is probably not enough, and I think we're going to start seeing the Colts come back to earth now, Joe. I know everyone was kind of really worried about, you know, the Colts the first couple weeks, but they just lost to Oakland in bad fashion, and now, you know, I think Kansas City probably blows them out. Probably. That Sunday night game probably is only interesting for about a half.
Okay. And Monday night, Cleveland hosts the undefeated San Francisco 49ers. Give me a PP. Cleveland plus 3.5.
Wow, look at that. Double PP, Cleveland plus 3.5. We have two double PPs in this. Oregon and Cleveland. Dude, you're on the Cleveland train, huh?
They've lost enough money where I've won it back last week.
Dude, how good did they look last week?
Really good. And listen, I think San Francisco's a fine team.
They're so overrated, man. Come on.
They were involved in the Super Bowl rankings today of where where the teams could end up, I laughed.
Seriously?
Like, yeah, like one of the options of like who could be in the Super Bowl.
I mean, they beat the Bucs because Winston threw two pick sixes and Jimmy G also threw a pick six. They beat the Bengals, we know is not a good team. They didn't cover at home versus the Steelers, who I think is a garbage team. Yeah, the Browns, who are a very good team in my opinion, should trounce this team. It shouldn't be close. The Browns, give me, you know what? I'm going to do something one more. Give me the Browns plus 170 PP.
Money line.
I like the money line. I'm gonna double down and take two PPs. Joe and I are going to have a double PP on the Brown, and I'm going to take the money line. Fuck that. I like Cleveland. I think they're going to win.
All right, and I think I only gave out like five PPs, but I'm gonna do a lot of halftime stuff. Dan, we got to understand, we just did a hockey podcast. A college podcast and now an NFL podcast. Like, my mind is blown. There's a lot of shit here.
We have to. Do you want to wrap up with questions? We have a lot of questions.
Yeah, let's. We'll take a pause and then go to the questions.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you're listening to Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over Under 985.
Taking it to the window with your questions, Dan. 7 minutes? Or we're not going to have enough today.
Fuck, dude. 7 minutes. We're not going to make it.
Let's do it within 10.
Okay. We're not going to make it in 7 minutes. Joe, can you give a quick thought about the AFC South, all teams 2-2? Who do you like as the AFC South champion?
Jeez, who do you like as the AFC South champion?
I still lean Houston.
I think Houston, but I don't know. Like, Indy looks good sometimes.
Yeah, but I think if they lose this week, they drop to what? 2-3?
Yeah, I'm out. Titan, no. Yeah. It's probably Houston.
It's Houston. I think Jacksonville might be in there too.
Dude, Minshew
looks
and who
good.
Knows if Foles comes back.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, exactly. If he comes back, I mean, they're probably the favorite. Although we don't know what Minshew is. All right. Question from our buddy Kevin. Great podcast, people review them, whatever. A great podcast, people review them. It takes 2 seconds, least you can do. Lines can move between your podcast and our wagers. What would be an okay range of movement to take the bet? Does it depend on the line? Say 3.5 to 4 is okay, but not 3 to 3.5. What would you suggest buying the juice to get the same line?
I mean, I buy points a lot. Like, I'd like to get if it's 3.5, I like it at 3. It's your own judgment, man, at that point. We know what we locked in our pick at, so.
Yeah, you know. It is a judgment call.
You have a bankroll, so if you got to put up a little bit more juice. You know?
I would say in the key numbers, I would probably maybe buy, for you guys, because you guys aren't betting, you know, large amounts, 3, 7, 10, 14. If our numbers kind of are in there, you should buy, a half point. I would never buy on overs, totals, ever. I think buying on totals probably doesn't bode well for your long-term success. And I would say you should never buy on anything pretty much but NFL. Maybe NBA. That's about it. All right. Let's move on. AFC North division winners live. So the AFC North division right now, I've told you all year, Joe, and I'm not wavering now. I take Cleveland.
Cleveland. They're in first place right now.
They are in first place.
Again, we don't like Pittsburgh, even though I'm on them this week. Baltimore has played the Chiefs tough, but they lost again last week to Cleveland. So, for me, it's Cleveland.
Yeah. We've
both kind of thought that.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Without Roethlisberger, it's like no question almost.
Yeah, no, without question. This is another question about buying points. Again, Western Michigan was 16. I gave it out at 16. Guy got it at 16.5. The 16 push and the 16.5. Ooh. It's a bad B. Listen,
I'd buy it still.
I wouldn't.
It's a difference of what? If you listen, if you're betting $1,000, I get it. It's an extra $200.
Yeah. Right? If you're betting,
but if you're betting $100, it's an extra $20.
Yeah, I would consider it for that. But even so, 60 and 60.5, not really prime numbers. I would say you made the right decision by not buying. That's my guess. All right, question from our buddy Beef. Can you go over teasers in NFL betting? When is a good scenario to place a teaser?
Dan's giving out some good ones, I got to admit.
You
don't like to go through the zero.
Yeah, you don't. You should never tease through the zero, and it's not great to tease a total. I tease totals because I feel like I have a good read on them sometimes. But really, teasers are something, again, something rare that you should use. Now, they've been very profitable this year, Joe. Casinos have been getting fucking murdered on teasers. But, like, in general, they're not like, great to bet on. I would be very careful about when you bet on teasers. Just my personal opinion. I don't like to do a lot of teases. All right. Moving on. Question from our buddy Matt. Quick question if you have time for this. When using a local book that resets every week, do you typically start each smaller to avoid going down right away, or do you keep everything the same?
I keep everything the same.
Yeah.
And just to throw this out here, when I do my halftime bets, they're half. I do. All right. So let's just use $100 for an example. Most of my plays are $100. My halftime plays are $50. Because sometimes, unless I say I'm doubling down, it means I'm betting. But yeah, listen, I have success with halftime bets. But if you lose like 3 out of 5, you get in your ass. It comes back to get you if you win the bet. No, if you won your original bet. You know what I mean?
What I think he's asking is like early in the week, he's probably betting baseball and NHL and WNBA, and he's betting all these things. And no offense, Matt, but there's a good chance that most of you guys lose. Most of you guys lose because most of you guys play the favorites or bad bets or the overs or what. You guys, a lot of new bettors don't look at the market and where to find value. I was talking to a kid today. Nice kid, looks like a college hockey guy, whatever. I'm not going to put his name out there because I don't want to screw him over or anything. Nice kid. He's talking about me. He's about teasing the Chargers and the Patriots, hammering the tees. I'm taking, you know, the over and this and the favorite, every favorite in hockey. I'm like, guy, like, casinos were built on teasers, parlays, and favorites. That's how they're built. So I would tell you, if you are finding an edge early in the week, stick to your bankroll. Stick to your bankroll.
Yeah,
I bet
the Bengals Monday and hit the under second half. Was watched out. I was down $100. I took the Rays tonight, and if they win, I'll be up $150.
Okay. This is a question about our boys from Barstool. Do you want to take
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I like the guys there.
Okay. Would you guys talk about Stu Finer and the Barstool personalities in general, i.e. Marty Mush? If that's too specific, just say general personalities. Too late.
So listen, I just want to say right off the bat, they're entertainers. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They do pick winners. Sometimes they're off. I mean, we are off too. We do a podcast. I think if we wanted to, we could be as entertaining if we wanted to be.
We're
radio guests. We're here to representing our radio station.
Yeah, we're here to pick winners and whatever and do that.
But yeah, I'm not shitting on those guys. What they do is good. Like the fact that they get the viewership, they have the entertainment factor when they sit there. Stu Finer's been a guy that's been around for years, and his personality. It's, you know, to me, I like to look at everybody to fade or follow. That's what I do.
Listen, I'm going to be honest
with you. I'll give you an example. Marty Mush this week, I'm taking Nevada because it's cold outside.
Dude, and
Hawaii's
exactly.
Not good. And what happened? We had Hawaii.
By fucking 50.
That's not what I'm shitting on.
I told you,
we're not shitting
idiots.
On Mush. It's just
no,
that's what he did.
I love Mush. But listen, if you want to be, listen, this is what it comes down to. Do you want to be a better for entertainment, or do you want to be better to make money?
Exactly.
Because if you want to be better to make money, guys like, I'm going to be a little bit not modest here, guys like us and some of the sharper guys I put on the list earlier in the week to follow, those are the guys you should follow. You want to be entertained and fuck around and you know, play with some money and whatever? Barstool.
That's the way to
they
go.
They don't win. They're not winners. They're not winners.
They do really well at what they do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shit on those
not
guys.
Not at all. No.
They do very well at what we do.
They're funnier than me. They're smarter than me. They're just not even close to as good of bettors as I am. I'm sorry if that's not modest.
If we could have the following that they do, we would love that.
That'd be great.
I'm not shitting on it. It's just the reason why I think it's fun. It's like asking my wife, hey, who do you like in the game tonight? She tells me the warmer weather city. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
LA. But Miami, sometimes
Bush wants, he's a degenerate. He wants the action. So when he doesn't know, he tries to find an angle. And like, for us, that's probably not the way it works for us.
No, not at all.
So don't think we're talking shit. They're entertainers and they're successful.
I love Marty Mush. He is by far one of my favorite human beings on Twitter. And to just follow his videos, he just cracks me the fuck up. I just don't think he's good better. And I think he would be the first one to tell you that. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. Okay. Question from our buddy Derek. Thoughts on action reverse? I am out.
Okay.
On action reverse. Okay. Out.
All right. I got
You're just.
Don't do
you're,
it.
You're just.
I
I'm
got
out.
Stories for you.
Here
people.
We go. Let's go, Joe. Go.
Three team. If you do okay. Back in 2007, okay. When the Patriots were on that undefeated season.
Yeah.
The Patriots and the over hit eight weeks in a row.
I remember that. Yep.
I bet it 8 weeks in a row. Patriots in the over $1,000 won me $3,000.
Did you bet it 9 weeks in a row?
The ninth week it hurt. The 10th week it hurt.
Oh no. Oh,
the 11th week it won. 12th week it hurt.
Oh.
13th week it won. 14th week it hurt.
Oh boy.
15th week hurt. 16th week they broke the record.
Yeah.
17th week, whatever it was.
Yeah.
All I can tell you guys is this. Don't do it. The only thing that helps though, I don't want to tell you this. So if you do a parlay, which Dan says not to do, and one bet wins, one bet loses, you lose your bet. With an action reverse, you only lose the juice on one of them. So that really, you're better off just making two plays straight.
Agreed. It's not worth it, man. It's just not. Question from our buddy Ryan. We talked about buying points. I know your take on buying points. Don't do it. If the line moves, where would be forced to buy points in order to follow? We talked about that. He goes, I only use BetOnline right now, so I don't have the option of searching for BetOnline. Here's my option. Here's my suggestion, Ryan. Get another book.
Dude, I go on covers.com every single day. It shows every single casino's book odd. I get this question all the time.
Sports Insights.
Dude, so many other – I know, but I just use covers because the second I go on it, I see it. You know what I mean? I haven't been. I like the guys at Sports Insights. I just haven't. I don't.
I think the guys at Sports Insights now, most of them suck. They fired the good ones.
Yeah, But all I'm saying is, like, listen, you can go to any book in the world, but there are other websites that just have this stuff.
Yeah, but my point is that if you need another line and whatever,
I will tell you, it is good to get another book.
Get another book. Okay. Question from our buddy Mooch. How many points do you need to have a correct use of middling, meaning worth the risk of going to getting one?
I hit one of these last week.
Me, I hit the Cal middle. We had the Cal under.
I took the under in the Oklahoma. It was 69, and it went over. But I took the under second half of 28, and the under second half hit. The over didn't.
But you didn't know. You were washing out your bet.
I was trying to wash. Yes. I wasn't trying to middle.
I hit the under 42 and the over 21.5 second half. I hit both of them. Listen,
It can happen. And I would try it with second half bets.
There's no real line or point. It's just an eyeball thing. And let me tell you something. The first few times you do it, you're going to fucking get killed. So I would just expect to lose money the first few times. Okay.
Just wanted to just mention this quickly. I went on covers.com. I clicked preview on a game. On the right-hand side, it has every single, like, FanDuel, DraftKings, Caesars, Westgate, you name it, PointsBet, like, BetAmerica. It shows you the lines are different at some places by a half point, sometimes a point and a half.
Yeah, Sports Insights.
It's as easy, but the only reason why I say that is it's right here. It's so easy.
Yep. Agreed. All right, question from my buddy Jack, and you know I'm already going to hate this question. Love the show. Sometimes I like to toss out parlays with no more than three bets of all for fun. Is there any strategic way for doing parlays, or do you guys typically avoid them to treat individuals as their own play? Parlays are fucking stupid. Casinos were built on parlays, teasers, and favorites. Fuck! It's not that hard. Fucking Jones is giving me the yeah, what are you talking about? It's not that hard.
Listen.
It's not that hard. Stop doing it until you guys have a large bankroll. Then you guys can fuck around.
If you're starting out, I wouldn't suggest it. But if it's a college football on a Sunday, like last week, I liked Ohio State in the over. So I made a little action on Ohio State in the over. I put, let's just hypothetically say I put 1,000 on Ohio State. I put 500 on Ohio State in the over. I came away with $450 because I lost the parlay. I could have had 1,000, but instead I came away with 450.
Yep, perfect follow-up question. Why are parlays dumb from our buddy C? I feel like $50, the odds of hitting two games and winning a few hundred is worth it. Great. It's really great worth it, C, if you hit the parlay. But the problem is you're spending $50 to hit the parlay, up, I lost. $50 to hit the parlay, up, I lost. You're spending it five times, then you finally hit the parlay.
On the third one, you're still like almost in the red.
Yeah, and you're still like 20 in the red.
Bucks still behind.
I mean, the point is, the parlays are fucking stupid. Casinos were built on parlays, favorites, and teasers. Fuck!
I do them, but I do them like, you know, because I'm up. I'm up over 60 units on
listen,
the year, okay?
Joe has a gargantuan bankroll.
But it's
it's bigger than yours.
Mine's out of like a, listen, if Ohio State lost and it went over and I lost my parlay, I'd still be pissed. I would have lost three bets. That's why the parlays aren't smart.
Stop betting parlays if you want to be a plus even better. Plus even means making money. If you want to make money and you bet parlays, you will not make money.
If you want to bet parlays, go ahead. Just don't ask us any more questions about it.
Because you're going to lose your money. I'm just going to tell you the same fucking thing over and over again. Okay. Question for the podcast. What are your top three rules to make sports betting a full-time job?
I don't know.
No parlays.
No, I don't know.
I would say no parlays, stop betting favorites, and teasers in only certain situations. It's that simple. Everything else is that simple. Okay. Oakland played back-to-back road games, Minnesota and Indy, as we talked about, and now travels to London for a home game. How much do you factor that in? Is that built in the line? Yes, it is. We talked about that. So that's what. Question: do you ever borrow picks from other sharps? See a pick, think it's reasonable, post.
I would like to answer this question. Everything that myself and Dan do is our own shit. We do this podcast on a Wednesday or a Thursday night, and it just so happens on Saturday or Sunday. If you guys followed our play, it's from a Wednesday or Thursday night. Again, so I just want to state that anything that we give away or anything that we do is purely organic. I don't think we. Like, we're not clever enough to do the tape and, you know what I mean, mix the tape in. We're recording this on a Wednesday or Thursday. Dan, what's a tout?
People who sell plays for money.
Okay, most people who sell plays for money.
Usually they're not good.
Usually are 90, either getting them from somebody else or making up a pick to make money.
95% of them lose money.
Yep. So, listen. I've done it once in my life because I wanted to either fade or follow a guy. That's exactly what happened. So I started to learn his trick every once in a while. I got a little package for a month. I followed it. I realized what he was giving away and what he wasn't. I finally caught up to it, and I knew when to fade and when to follow. And, for us, I think it's good to listen to this podcast because we've been successful. I would not suggest buying a tout. I would not do that.
There is one guy buy picks from every now and then, and I will never give out plays. No, the answer is I never borrow or take plays from anyone else. I have lots of friends who I talk to throughout the week. Do we come to a consensus and talk about our plays and what we like? And maybe do I feel that I have an edge, or do I feel like my opinion can change because of talking to people? Yes, but that's what this business is. It's talking to people and getting a better idea. Yeah. Do I ever steal their plays? No. There's a couple sharp guys on Twitter who post plays every week, and if you ever see my plays, they're almost not similar. I will say one of them is this week, and that's because we talked about it. And I merely said, I fucking love this play. Why do you like it too? We talked about it. But the fact is that I don't steal plays. Joe doesn't steal plays. This is all original.
This is all organic.
We do this off the top. I run a model.
We can't be successful if we're not organic.
Yeah, I run a model, dude. If you think that, I'll tell you this. If you think that stealing plays from other people and being successful in this business works, it doesn't. Trust me.
Yeah. And trust the only other thing I'll add to that is just, maybe we can, I don't know if you have any more questions, but we can kind of end it on this note. There are people out there that are trying to hustle to make it a business. Good for you guys. We could do it too, but we become touts and then we become not trusted. And, not to mention some of those people are trying to get an edge too and think that they're going to like get information from somebody and maybe that information's
there
not
is,
great.
There
and
is
then they're
some...
going to get on you. And it's like, it's a bad cycle, man.
How about this? I'll give you an example. Someone that we both know who is a tout, who we talked about this week. We shall remain nameless. Gave information to that person. I told him not to pass that information along. Information ended up losing. Play some from one of the sharp
My
guys.
My whole thing is this. Who's the idiot, though?
He got mad at
Who's
me.
Who's the idiot? You could have fed on anything in the world.
He got mad at me because it lost. I was like, dude, it's not my fault. You asked for the information. I told you I don't bet the
So know what I would do is if I'd ask you for the info again, and then I'd fade it.
Yeah.
Why give you shit? Why do that? And then why call out our credibility?
It's ridiculous. Anyway, but by the way, I'm going to leave it there. Let's do it.
But just real quick, everything we do is organic.
Yeah, okay. There are a few more questions that I think we should answer.
Okay.
Okay. Recommend bet units wise on PPs. I would say 1 to 1.5 units. Anything more than that, you're looking for trouble. Unless double PPs. I said it last week. Maybe I need to say it again. Double PPs are 2 units. So, yeah, that's what we put in last week. Whatever. What is your strategy early when it comes to grabbing lines early week versus day of? What sort of advantages do you find early lines versus game day?
The only one I can give you is that Jets Cleveland game. We grabbed that line early at like 2.5 or whatever. It went up to 6.5, 7. It covered anyways, but went 7-0 that night grabbing those lines.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, listen.
I grabbed Wake Forest at 7 last week.
When it opened at 3.
Yeah, and it went down, right before kickoff.
Yeah. Listen, it would have been a push. So. It's line predictability, closing line value, and guess what? We don't cover that in this podcast because that would take months and months to explain to all you guys how that works. So my point
is... Yeah, just when the lines come out on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Just start looking. Circle games and then do research.
Circa releases college football lines like on Sundays. And in the
and
NFL,
they already have look-ahead games.
And the NFL lines are out either look-ahead the week before, which you can bet on, or after, or like right after the game. So, all right. So anyways, that's up to you. It's up to you guys what you want to do. I can't tell you how to bet games in your line movement. That is something that you guys have to decide. I can't do it for you. Question from Ryan. You guys are making us a ton of money. How can we help you make? How can we help you guys make money?
Tell your friends. Tweet us out. Retweet us.
Listen to the podcast.
Friends, listen to the podcast.
Review. Tell your friends.
If anybody asks, hey, where do you guys listen to a podcast? Hey, check it out. You know, and we've gotten a lot of people now. You know, coming around. So
I know you guys don't give out parlays. Could you give out an optional parlay play that doesn't count towards your record?
Didn't you give one this week? Didn't you give?
I give out a Nebraska
and something else.
I just give out Nebraska. Okay. I give out a parlay piece. That's it.
But you it hit. The last two or three have hit.
Six.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, the last six or six. Or no. I'm not giving you a parlay. Why? Because I think it's stupid. And because I don't think that you guys should be betting parlay. So I'm not going to encourage that type of behavior on the podcast. I'm sorry, I'm not. I will give you a parlay piece because I know that there are guys who refuse to listen to me. So you get one piece from me and that's not it. That's it. Everything else, you guys need to do on your own. I don't encourage parlays. I think they're stupid and whatever. Okay. Question from Valley. Feel like the Pats should handle this week with ease. Not sold on the spread. Would a teaser make more sense with a -9?
No.
We talked about it. Stop betting teases. Stop betting parlays. Stop betting favorites. If you do that every single week, you're going to lose your ass. It's going to happen. Okay. First half college bets going forward for PPs. No. You get maybe we'll find ride trends. We rode
Alabama
first
half
last year.
Yep, last year.
So maybe we'll find trends and maybe
right now
those,
prime time unders are really 10-2.
Yeah,
but be careful. Like it's inevitable. It's not going to hit at some point.
And if I tease a team to plus half,
it was the Citadel that broke Alabama last year, right?
Correct. Yep. First half Citadel. Okay, my question from Arsnarda. My book offers a look ahead to the following week in the NFL. So this week, you can bet week 5 and also week 6. Is there any value to betting a week early? Do you guys ever take something early?
I'd wait because your injuries and stuff.
I do, but that's the risk. It's risk-reward. It's risk-reward.
Why not just wait until Sunday night?
Well, okay, for instance, I'm not going to give any plays, but for instance, I got the Browns plus 5 last week. It's now down to plus 3.5. So my risk-reward was taking the Browns at 5 last week.
Because if they lose by 4, you can win the bet.
Correct. Pick and choose your spots. That's all. I think best 5 was the best number. I knew that line was going to move. So, all right, question from Mike. Are the best bettors making their plays on Monday, Tuesday's new lines come out? Strong, confident bets that move the line.
All right, this is a tricky question. So what I do is I make most of my money on Friday and Saturday nights. This week will probably be Saturday. Well, bet a couple of baseball games this week. So I'm going to go into the weekend.
Don't bet baseball.
I'm going to go into the weekend up. So I'm going to go into Thursday and Friday up. I'll try to make it what I can. Saturday's going to be a huge day for me. And on Sunday, I'll dabble. Because I'm telling you, if you go all in on a Sunday, it's the last day of the week. You could be negative money and you owe the book.
I do, but I do think that the Sunday this week is particularly good.
Yeah. Then the Saturday slate's not great because next week is the look ahead week. Next week's the big week.
Agreed. The other thing is that, Mike, the question you're talking about for sharps is they make moves off lines. Okay. So they will do predictive line analysis, closing line value, stuff like that. Some people are really good at that. Okay. Some people are not. We are not going to go over that in this podcast because it is too confusing for people. And we just can't cover it. It just can't do it. Okay. All right. Do you guys ever bet golf? I bet matchups that my buddy supplies me every week. I bet one or two for fun. I know nothing about golf. I do not originate any of my own stuff. And I do not bet golf except for the good things that are supplied to me by a few buddies of mine. Joe?
I didn't hear you when the hosts aren't listening.
Do you ever bet golf?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't. So.
What I do is I take people to win the tournament. So I take like 4 different. I have a buddy who's really good and he's hit big.
Okay, here's a question for you. And maybe this is actually an interesting question we should discuss. Would you guys consider giving NFL Survivor picks on your podcast? Okay. Here's my problem. I'm in a bunch of pools and I don't like giving out my plays because people I work with who I'm in, whatever, listen to me.
Someone asked me this last because I do a weekly pool thing. I don't want to give away the pick.
I don't want to give away the pick. I'll give away this week's pick. I'm taking the Eagles.
I took the Eagles too.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go. They're pretty simple. But going forward, I would say maybe we'll do a Survivor pick every week, but only on weeks where I feel like I'm pretty safe. How about that? Yeah. Does that feel fair?
I took the Eagles too.
Nice.
That's funny. I've hit every week in my Survivor.
Me too.
Haven't used the Patriots yet or the Chiefs.
Neither have I. Neither have I. Yeah, it's been pretty
good. I used the Texans 1 week.
Me too.
I used the Chargers last week.
Me too.
Whoever's played the Dolphins, I've used. And then last week,
I used Seattle week 1. I used Houston week 2 versus Jacksonville.
Yep.
And then I've just been fading the Dolphins.
Yep, same here.
Yep, there you go.
Wow.
Nice and easy. See?
Great minds think alike.
Smart gamblers, that's what happens. Ooh. Okay. We have a question about the Pittsburgh games. We feel like already that. We've already answered that stuff. So that's it. We're done.
That's it for this week, everybody. What do we got for an hour? What do we got for time? No, I mean for our podcast.
Fuck, it's going to be long.
Dude, we did. I did Facebook Live with Felger, which was funny if you get a chance to listen. We did In or Out with Felger.
I saw it on the way in because I was sitting.
He gave me
traffic.
A wet willy.
Did he really?
Fucking gave me a wet willy.
Missed that part.
And then he left his wallet, and then I almost took it.
Saw that.
He has a clip. Do you have a wallet or a clip?
I have a fucking wallet.
Me too.
Fucking.
I have like a Costanza wallet.
Felger, you pansy ass.
Yeah. Oh well. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Last week we went 10-3-1, 8-4 the week before. Gonna wrap it up again this week.
Hopefully we do well.
I have a family event on Saturday, so I'm going to try to do as much as I can for halftime bets.
But it might
be a good week to kind of lay off the halftime bets.
I am going apple picking with my wife and our friends. I did not want to go. I told her I would go. I am not pleased about it, but I will deal. I even asked her, I told her, I was like, listen, I'll go apple picking with you. But if you think for one fucking moment that I'm not going to, and I said fucking, I said, if you think for one fucking moment I'm not going to have my phone in my hand, I'm not going to be looking at the scores, you are crazy, yeah. Woman. And she was like, it's okay.
We have a family cookout with other men coming over. So sure as shit, I'm going to be watching.
Okay, yes, you're fine. But
I got to, like, you know, I got to end your day, you know? Yeah.
So I expect less second half plays from Joe.
Less. Expect that. So
you know what? I'm fucking boy Sunday. I'm not doing anything. I'm boy Sunday. And next week, I'm going to the game on Thursday. So, by the way, I will not be here. I'm going to the Pats-Giants game next week.
Okay. Good for you. Danny Dimes,
yeah.
Any look-ahead line on that?
I have not seen the look-ahead yet. I'm going to guess.
Because I think Minnesota is going to beat the Giants.
I do not, yeah.
And I think that the Giants are then going to lose to the Patriots.
Could be. We'll see. But, yeah, we have to discuss when we're going to do the podcast next week.
So. Wednesday works for me. All right. This has been our 58th edition of Over Under 985.
Who you got?
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.